Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here he is, Mr. Robert Ford, in the flesh. He is grateful for this presence.
As always.
Gentlemen. Welcome to another great edition of Talking Sports with 12 Men. I hear a little echo. I'm not sure where that's coming from, so make sure those things are muted, by the way. Mute myself. Make sure we're good.
Yeah, mine says
we'll be good to go here. Yeah, we're all muted and stuff like that. I muted everybody, so we're good. Welcome. We are officially in the month of December. Wow, things are flying. The year is flying. At least 18 days till Christmas, if you will. And, you know, ready to rock and roll. So, as always, let's get this party started. Checking with the fellas. We got a lot of topics to discuss. We got a hard stop at 12 just to keep things sane. So, let's kick it off with the fellas and do our quick little check-in. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain, bro. Like you said, you're coming to an end real fast. Trying to get ready for these girls to try to figure out what I'm going to get them because they got everything. So, working through that. How you doing, bro?
Good. You can always get them a set of golf clubs, man. They'll appreciate that, man. So how about that?
They got a set.
They got a set of golf clubs.
They have a set.
Wow. Well, wow. Okay, we'll have to keep this going here. Good stuff. So JQ is a dad that's got it out. Not only is the GOAT of the podcast, he is a GOAT dad, girl dad, all that fun stuff too, man. So a lot of love, man. A lot of love for you, man.
They don't want to go out there with me most times, though. They said it then. They want to go to Topgolf, right? So they want to take it to Topgolf and spend $150 eating food and hitting off the mat. They don't want to come out to the course with me.
Oh, man.
Hey, I was there in Atlanta on Wednesday night at Topgolf.
Nice, yeah.
Which one? The one out Loretta?
Howell Mill,
okay, one downtown, okay.
Yeah.
We had a
company function there.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Gotcha. Welcome. And that other voice you hear is the Cajun Rob. See Bob, as they call him. Rob, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, feeling great, man. Ready to make it do what you do.
Good stuff. We got some awesome people from the West Coast, Curtis and Gary, checking in. Curtis will not be denied wearing his Oregon shirt, no matter what that butt kick was last week. But it's all good. Way to represent Oregon, Curtis. How you guys doing?
I'm standing up for it. It looks like Cristobal might have had something else on his mind besides Utah.
Yeah.
He was thinking about something else for sure. Gary, how you feeling, sir?
For both games, he has something else on his mind.
Yeah,
okay, right.
And we'll go into that in a bit. So, look, I'm looking forward to it.
Kurt,
but I'm doing
Gary
well.
And Curtis are ready.
We're ready.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I got excited, man. But I know you got some luck, too. So I cannot wait to hear your thoughts about what's happening with Oregon and that situation, too. So let's kick some get this party started. Welcome, Lou, as well. Always call the show 424-243-9519. Follow us on the Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports12men, or if you put in 12 Man Sports, you will find us as well. We know that Rob has posted the mock draft as well, and we post show topics and everything like that as always. So, gentlemen, let's kick this right in here. And we were kind of joking about this last night, all the texts about, Mac Jones throwing three passes if you will. But did the Patriots make a statement, I guess? And I'm going to start with the West Coast because we know that the Patriots are Gary's favorite team. So let's kind of kick it off. And
Curtis' favorite team, too.
The Patriots are slowly ruining Gary's football season.
Thank you, Curtis, for that insight. Really appreciate driving all the way across town for this. Want you to know that.
Yeah, I told y'all in the preseason they were going to the playoffs. I didn't think they were doing it with a rookie quarterback, though, but I told you they were going to the playoffs this year.
Well, you know, as I watched this game, I realized that, you know, as much as I love to disrespect the Patriots, when you just run the ball, and the team knows you're running the ball, and they've got 9 guys in the damn box, and they still can't stop them. That guy ran up the gut for that touchdown. They got that that 2-point conversion. Even at that point right there, I knew, you know what, this is done. And what I will say is this, as much as I hate the Patriots, the Bills were out-coached, and the players out there for the Patriots outplayed the Bills players by a long ways. And it was really smart for them to just keep running the ball and not have that quarterback throw in that wind, you know, do the right thing every single time. And it just pisses me off that they did it, so I'm giving them their props. As much as I hate to, I would love to see them. This is my wish list, though, for the Patriots, is that they lose all the rest of their games and they miss the playoffs. That's what I want.
Scrooge over here.
Not going to happen.
I hope Santa brings me that for Christmas.
Not the way they play in defense.
Curtis,
any other thoughts other than bad mouthing me?
Well, I can't remember that yet. I wish I could. But it was a good one. Jerry walked into it.
Yeah, I said if the Patriots, I remember it now, if the Patriots make the playoffs, Curtis can buy me a nice steak dinner. At the
okay. Oh God!
Domino lose, and that's
Remember, we're all witnesses to this.
You got that.
What I saw, guess who's going out in the first round of the playoffs? Buffalo. One dimension. Can't get it done. And remember Jonathan Taylor. That's where the Patriots got it from. The Colts.
Man, go ahead. Well, let's Robert, I don't know if you want to take that, man. The Patriots are in first place in the division. They pretty much just – that's got to be just, like, disheartening. No, you can't stop the run. You know it's coming, man. Me and Rob just played Madden back today, and there's certain times you play Madden, you knew a play was coming, you couldn't stop it. That was deflating. That's kind of how Buffalo's been. You can't stop it. You know. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I had this blitz I used to send on Andre. He didn't have a play for it. I used to send the same blitz at him every time. He couldn't figure it out.
He got me a couple times. in that little all-out blitz, but I was able to, you know, do the little hot route when I had Tony Gonzalez playing. I kind of stopped that with the quickness, man. So that's how I got rid of that, man.
Yeah,
it's all good.
It took him about 6 years to figure it out. Then he finally started coming out.
It didn't take no 6 years, bro. I like how you said 6 years. It's funny.
Man, we didn't play for 6 years.
We didn't play for 6 years.
Well, the Patriots ran the ball for 222 yards last night, and, you know, Gary kind of touched on it already. I mean, he ran the ball down the throat. I mean, they set football back to the 1930s in that game last night. I know the weather had something to do with it.
1930s?
Yeah, they went back to the 1930s last night, man, when they were just handing off. Mac Jones was putting on a clinic on how to hand off the football. in a game.
Your rookie of the year.
That was a yeah, exactly. He was putting on a clinic and handing off the football. 2 out of 3 for 19 yards. He was perfect on all handoffs on last night. So that was, you know, 222 yards running the football down Buffalo's throat. And, you know, looking at that game, do I think New England made a statement? I think they got the league's attention. Now, if they would have went in there and blew Buffalo out like 40-something to 10, that to me would have been more of a statement kind of game.
They didn't have to.
But they definitely got the league's attention, right? You know, and New England, the way they've been playing defense over the last several weeks has been outstanding, right? And this is a Bill Belichick defense. He's got that team. They got a pass rusher now in Judon. They got a good secondary. They got it on all three levels. And they're not turning over the ball on offense. And even outside of the game last night, when you look at Mac Jones, you know, we kid because of, you know, the handoff situation last night, but throwing up and completing over 70% of his passes, third in the NFL as a rookie. And, I mean, that's straight up insane. If they take care of the football and they play defense like that, they're going to be a tough out. But, you know, like, I don't know if New England outcoached Buffalo last night, but I thought they had a more physical game. And they, you know, Buffalo can't run the football. And to Curtis' point, if they can't run the football, if Josh Allen is going to continue to be the best runner on their team, they're not going to go far in the playoffs. They have to establish a running game. And Matt Breida and Devin Singletary, they're just not getting it done in a running game. And another thing about the Patriots, talk about the defense, their offensive line is playing out of this world right now. Not just last night for running the football, but you look at the last several weeks, their offensive line has been playing outstanding. I know we're on last week's show, the week before that, we talked about best offensive lines. The Patriots is right up there, somewhere in the top 5, the top 7 offensive lines in the league. I thought from a physicality standpoint, they came in there with the mindset we were going to be the more physical team, and they were the more physical team, clearly, in last night's game.
Well, Robin, just second, JQ, hang on. Rob, well, that starts off with one thing. That starts off with that coaching staff saying, we are the most dominant team here. We are going to go in there. We are not throwing the football, and we're going to run it down their throats. So as much as I hate Belichick, that's what I saw. That's what you saw. That's why I say, man, he was completely out. That guy was for Buffalo is completely outcoached. Thank you for making my case for me.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it for me though is watching it is what you guys touched on, so I won't, you know, it's too much to leave on, too much to be left on that bone. But yeah, and I think what they also said is that Buffalo, that was my pick to go to the Super Bowl. That's going to be a loss for me. Because anytime, it's definitely the statement. If you can tell a team, we're going to run the ball, and I don't care how many dudes you throw in this box, we are going to run the ball up the gut, like all between the tackles. You had maybe 5 or 7 of those runs with off tackle by design. Not the ones that he bounced, but by design off tackle, right down your throat. It's embarrassing. And when the reporter asked those dudes, Michael Hyde and Poyer in the post-game press conference, you know, do you feel embarrassed? They got mad. I was like, how are you going to get mad? You should be embarrassed. They lined up and just went, you know, single T on you for the most part and just run the ball down your throat, and you couldn't do nothing about it. Like, you should be embarrassed. I don't know. I forget who Buffalo is playing this week, but they might be in trouble because if you can't get in that locker room and film session and look each other in the mirror and say, hey, we got to reestablish ourselves as a contender, I don't know what else to tell you. They got big butt kicked. I've never seen anything like that. 32 straight runs by the Patriots. 32! Like, who does that in 2021? That was insane. Like, it was such a train wreck, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I was like, at some point, Buffalo, it's got to be able to do something about this. And they never could. I never seen anything like that in modern football. That was wild.
Leonard Fournette. I have a field day running the ball on that defense this Sunday.
But you watch. You say that and watch him adjust, and everybody's going to have Leonard Fournette as the most, you know, the best starting running back this week, and he's not going to be the best running back. But I don't know how you don't get into a film room and get together in that locker room and say, this shit is not happening again. I just I just don't know how you don't. If you call yourself a for real contender, you got to. You got to circle the wagons.
Yeah.
Well, they circled the wagons and then they hid behind them.
Well, you also got to talk about the two red zones that Josh Allen couldn't get in the end zone. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Enough blame to go around, but that defense, whoo, man.
Yeah. Anything to add to that, Liv? Good stuff. I guess we'll move on because we've beaten the heat off of that bone. And I guess talking about the Ravens here, do you agree with their decision to go with two? Because it was an interesting situation here. You know, you've heard some situations where if he makes that call, he's going to be looking like a genius. But then, of course, he misses that. They were saying that he wasn't happy with his QBs or cornerbacks. Excuse me, they were kind of depleted. They were kind of injured, so he wasn't sure about taking that into overtime. And, you know, you talk about the Ravens just like a battle of attrition. So, you know, and again, once again, he makes it and they miss. And, you know, they end up the Steelers end up winning. So I know JQ can care less about the Steelers winning. But what do you think about that, sir, about their decision?
Well, I mean, in an instance, you know, I can't have them have another tie. But, you know, I needed them to win that game, right, to keep Baltimore just a game in front of Cincinnati in the division, with Cincinnati with a game already in hand and in the head-to-head. But I didn't agree with it at the time. But then as I heard him talk about how, you know, I was just running out of guys, at that point I do, when you say, you know, I'm looking down on my bench and I don't have enough healthy bodies, and Pittsburgh has, you know, had in the middle of my guys back and taking the lead in that game. The thing about it is not that. Lamar Jackson was flat-out awful in that football game throwing the ball. And he's regressing with his decision-making, his throwing in the pocket. He had Andrews open. They should have won that game. I know T.J. Watt was coming at him, but, I mean, if you look at that route, tight end catches the ball, he goes in the end zone, and he's a hero. It's not like the play call was bad. He had a man open, and he missed him. And he missed some throws that night, the other night. I was just like, man, Lamar Jackson, like, you are an MVP in this league. Those are throws that MVPs have
to
make.
So what happened?
So I can't ask tell you what happened. He's regressed mechanic-wise, and it's a lot of it is
what
also what I see with Patrick Mahomes as well. When he has bad games, they all want to do that crazy three-quarters, you know, sidearm throw, and it takes off the accuracy of the ball. And I think they both fall victim to that sometimes with legs and mechanics, and he did. He just missed that, dude. There's nothing else to be said about it. So, you know, the head coach takes the blame for calling him for making that play call. But like you said, he's a genius and it works. And the play was open. It wasn't like he was scrambling for his life and had to try to throw it to somebody in the corner of the end zone where they had to tap their feet. He had a tight end open in the flat. He just missed it.
Yeah, and he had a few, to JQ's point, he had a few bad throws early in the game, throwing the offense back, fading back, throwing the ball up for grabs and got an INT. Team could have got a field goal in that game. And really, his play the last few weeks has been atrocious. It wasn't just against the Steelers. I mean, he had the four INTs against the Browns the week before. His completion percentage is in the toilet right now. And he's just not playing he's just not playing good football. He's not being smart with the football. He's not taking care of the football. And it's costing his team. The play didn't work, right, on Sunday. So you can easily say – it's easy to question after the fact, right? You made the wrong decision. You got Justin Tucker, kicked the extra point, hope to get the football back, go down the field and get a touchdown. So I'm going to say I don't agree with the decision to go for two. It didn't work, obviously. You get the extra point, take your chances, get the football, and see if you can go down the field and win the football game. And but obviously Lamar Jackson has got to play better. You know, Bill Parcells always had this saying here, you are what your record says you are, right? But the Ravens, to me, is not as good as their record. And normally I agree with Bill Parcells. I don't think they're as good as their record at 8-4. I really don't. They won a few games that they probably should have lost. And, I remember even the game they played against the Colts. The Colts was manhandling them. The Colts just kind of gave them the game at the end of it. There's a few games like that. To me, I don't think they're as good as their record is, and now with all the injuries that they have, and Marlon Humphrey is out now, that's going to really hurt their football team. They're struggling to throw the football right now. I don't see this team winning that division. I mean, I know all of those teams are like a bottleneck right now, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns. But to me, they just don't look like a team that's 8-4 when we look at the way they're dropping bodies,
yeah.
They're struggling, and making bad decisions with the football.
Curtis, yeah, you go.
Well, I look at it that the weak link right there for the Ravens is the quarterback position. You know, just like you both talked about, you know, the missed throws, the throwing off the back foot, the trying to do the little sidearm shuffle, you know, the simple passes that you can make with just good fundamentals. They easily could have won that game. And, you know, that's the game that they're going to go – that they're going to tank. It's going to be against the Steelers, just like in our previous topic. It's going to be the Bills falling apart against the Patriots. Those are the teams, those division rivals, those are the teams that you're going to – they know you well. They know all of your tendencies. And they exploit your tendencies. And Pittsburgh won because do I agree with him going for two? Well, he had a very simple play that was wide open and it should have been completed. Okay, so I agree with them going for it, but I can easily see, let's go for the tie, whatever, you know. But it is what it is now. I don't care about either one of the teams.
Yeah.
Well, I like what they did. Lamar's just going to have to be better at it. And the more practice he gets at it, the better he's going to be. They got that attitude, and they're going to live and die by that attitude that Lamar has, that he can do anything. But chances he gets, the better he's going to get at it. So the next time, it won't fail.
There it is.
And, but they better get Lamar Jackson's game in order if they want to make sure it don't fail.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, Rob, looking down the bench.
Right now,
Rob,
he can't throw it in the ocean.
Yeah, well, like you said, Rob, you know, you're looking down on the bench, like JQ said, it's like, you know, if he had to, there was like a walk, there's no one to play. He's like, I'd rather win now as opposed to, you know, extend it for a whole other quarter and try to play OT. So that's probably why he went for it. And like you said, if he executes, you know, we're not talking about this. He looks like a good play call, but you know, Lamar Jackson missed it, and here we are. We're kind of talking about that decision game. So, you know, anyone, like I said, no one's crying for either way, and I'm sure, like you said, JQ, doesn't really matter at this juncture as far as what's happening. Let's kind of skip on a couple topics here. I want to talk about Rob. We've been kind of skipping over the top NFL prospects. Let's kind of get to that. We're going to do some predictions because I'm sure we can't wait to talk about that. And go ahead and talk about the top 32 prospects, because you actually posted these on the Talking Sports and Talking page as well, too. So go ahead and get to that, if you will.
All right. Kayvon Thibodeau, even though Aiden Hutchinson is knocking on that door for being the number one pick, I still got Kayvon Thibodeau, the number one pick in the draft from Oregon. Yeah, he's skipping the bowl game to concentrate on the draft, so he's already declared for the draft. I think Oregon is in the Alamo Bowl. Am I correct, Gary and Curtis? But whatever bowl they're in, I know Thibodeau is skipping the bowl game and concentrating on the draft. I still got a number one. Evan Neal, offensive tackle from Alabama, number two. Aiden Hutchinson, number three. Ikem Akwunu, offensive tackle from North Carolina State, at the number four spot. Matt Corral, number five, quarterback from Ole Miss. He's the number one quarterback in the draft right now. He wasn't even first-team All-SEC. First-team All-SEC. But Corral is right now the number one QB in the draft. Kyle Hamilton, safety from the Notre Dame, at number six. Malik Willis is a quarterback to watch in this draft. Tremendous athlete, strong arms. You know, he could get a little bit better at reading defenses. But right now, he's probably one of the best pure talents at the quarterback position in this draft. Jordan Davis, defensive tackle from Georgia, got a little bit. Jordan Davis got exposed in the Alabama game a little bit. He's going to have to get in a little bit better shape to get ready for the NFL draft. But he got him at number 8. Derek Stingley from LSU got him down at number 9. Tyler Linderbaum, interior offensive lineman from Iowa, number 10. Charles Cross, offensive tackle, Mississippi State, 11. Kenny Pickett, quarterback, Pittsburgh, number 12. And I'll skip around a little bit. The rest of our listeners can see it on the page. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Ohio State, number 14. Ahmad Gardner, cornerback, Cincinnati, number 17. Texas A&M, 18. Kenyon Green, offensive lineman. And DeMarvin Leal, defensive tackle from Texas A&M, number 19. Nakobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia, number 20. And the guy to watch, Roger McCreary, cornerback from Auburn. He's number 21 right now, but I think he's got a chance to climb. I think when NFL scouts put on the tape the way he played against Alabama in that Iron Bowl and against those receivers, he had a phenomenal game. I think he's a guy to really watch to see if he moves up in the draft here. JQ's favorite team, Michigan, David Ojabo, edge rusher, 11 sacks this year, tremendous year he has. He's moved up into the first round. And we talked about those Alabama receivers, Jameson Williamson, at number 23.
Beast.
Treylon Burks, wide receiver from Arkansas, great size and speed.
Mm-hmm.
I got him going number 25 right now. Devin Lloyd, I know my Oregon crew here, I know they've seen too much of him this year. Linebacker from Utah, I put on the show both games against Oregon. He's at the number 28 spot. Chris Olave, Ohio State, 29. Carson Strong, quarterback, Nevada. And Damone Clark, linebacker from LSU, has really come on the last 6 games of the season. He's at the number 32 spot.
Did you have any of the Ohio State tackles? I think it's some from Mayer and Ferrer. Have they fallen out of your top 32, the tackles from Ohio State?
I got them in the second round right now.
Okay. Okay.
Good stuff.
Yeah, they didn't do a good job. They didn't do a whole lot for their tape in that Michigan game, so I can see that. I was just wondering where you have after that debacle.
I'm here.
Good stuff. Appreciate you.
At, Detroit has probably got the first pick. I think they do got the first pick. And I think they're going to get that Michigan State lineman.
Aiden Hutchinson.
I think he's going to go first in Detroit. I'm not sure where Thibodeau's going to go. And I'm not sure how good of a pro he's going
to be. Thibodeau is definitely the better athlete than Hutchinson.
Thibodeau?
But right now, does he have the work ethic as Hutchinson is going to be the question that I think the NFL scouts are going to dig into.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I agree.
Appreciate you, Rob. Don't forget, all those are posted on the Talking Sports with Hoffman page, so we wanted to make sure we highlighted that because I know Rob put a lot of work in putting that list together, too. So thank you, sir. Really, really good stuff, too. Let's talk about some NFL predictions. I want to spend some time talking about some college football as well because a lot of things happened, and I can't wait to dive into Oregon and what's been happening. The coaching carousel is continuing to go on. Let's really get to some predictions,
course.
If you will, too. I know. I can't wait to, Gary, I can't wait to hear you and Curtis talk about that, too, so I'm excited. Steelers at Vikings. Vikings surrender the first loss or the first win, excuse me, for the Lions. The Lions are having a field day. They're all excited, if you will, too. So are the Steelers in trouble is the question going to face the Vikings. Mike Zimmer's probably like, what the hell? Go ahead.
Well, they got to get Mike Zimmer to stop dating that Instagram model, whoever it is. Mike Zimmer worried about that young thing on the side. He'd be worried about that game plan.
I know, right?
I think Pittsburgh is fighting for their life. I think when the Bengals blew them out and everybody talks about Ben Roethlisberger needing to retire and the demise of the Steelers, they should have lost that game to Baltimore, but you got to give them some credit for hanging tough and making Lamar Jackson be a little bit more uncomfortable. I think the problem that Minnesota has on this short week is that they won't get Dalvin Cook back. I think he doesn't come back until the following week. And Adam Thielen with the dreaded high ankle sprain is going to be out as well. And while KJ Osborne played well in his relief, he's not Adam Thielen. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in this game. I just think the injuries right now for Minnesota might be a little too much. They'll find a way to Pittsburgh to muck up the game and make it one of those kind of AFC North, you know, NFC North kind of games where it's just kind of real ugly. I don't want to pick Pittsburgh, but I think they're going to win that game.
Yeah, I totally agree in this one for all the same reasons JQ just mentioned. The only thing Minnesota's got going for them right now is Cousins and Justin Jefferson. But other than that, they got too many gaping holes on defense right now. And outside of Jefferson, they don't have enough weapons on offense with Cook being out too. So I expect the Steelers to go on the road and win this game. I'm going to go 23-14 Pittsburgh on the road.
Frank Gore is still available. Don't forget that. Frank Gore is still out there in the state. He's ready to roll.
Well, hey. Curtis and I were talking about this.
And the wide receiver for Pittsburgh, Deontay Johnson, he's got to catch the football, man. Ben hit him right in his hands for a touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
That's been his problem forever.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Curtis.
Let me say this about that.
Did we lose him?
Hey, we did.
Yeah. Can't hear you.
Are you muted?
Go ahead.
I look at and the heavy stuff that Detroit did and that Minnesota victory. I love what the NFL did about the kids, honoring them, and doing a big show, getting that victory dedicated to them, giving them the game ball. I loved all that.
Absolutely.
As far as the thank you, Curtis. As far as the Pittsburgh, I'm going to go with the home team. I don't think either one of these teams are really very good. I think I don't trust Pittsburgh on the road. I really, you know, equally don't trust the Vikings even at home. But the lesser of two evils, I guess I'll go with the Vikings. Since I hate the Steelers.
I do too.
I do too, but
I can't trust Kirk Cousins as far as I can throw him. I can never pick Kirk Cousins. He's just one of those dudes that just I look up and I'm like, why the hell did you pick Kirk Cousins? Like, it's just one of those things. I have a hard time going with Kirk Cousins in any game.
You mad, bro? We got this, bro. Come on, man.
That's just a personal thing, I guess.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, he's someone to go with. I'll give you that. Absolutely.
We'll talk about the next game. We got the Bills and the Bucks, and we talked about the Bills just got literally embarrassed on national television. And, you know, you got Tom Brady, you know, again, Curtis's favorite quarterback. He's having all these crazy movies out, talking about what's happening with him. But do you think that the Bills are going to show up and kind of give the Bucks – a nice little run, or is Leonard Fournette going to run crazy? Go ahead, Rob. What are your thoughts about that? Here in Tampa Bay.
I like the Bucs in this game. I mean, in Buffalo, until they can figure out how to run the football, stop the run, the two most important things in football is stopping the run and being able to run the football. And Buffalo, as talented as they are as a football team, you know, they can't do neither one of those two things right now. And as much as I hate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I expect Fournette has actually been playing outstanding football here the last few weeks, too. I know you're talking about Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, but he's kind of revived his career in Tampa Bay. 2 weeks ago against the Colts, he had 4 touchdowns, had a one-handed catch for a touchdown this past week. He's running the football hard. I think the Bucs win this game, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it. I'm going to go Tampa Bay 30, Buffalo 20.
I'm going to go with Buffalo for any other reason than, listen, you got to come out here and show the people, the world, something. You got manhandled in the snow at home with a rookie quarterback only has to throw 3 passes. Wow. You got pissed off at the report in the press conference. If not now, when? Like, come on, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to come back and say I'm a contender, this is a game to do it to rebound and say, yep, we got took to the woodshed. We were grouped in the locker room. came out here with something to prove. And I watched that. I was at that Bucks-Falcons game, and that score was a little misleading. While the Falcons got the interception at the end, they hung around a lot longer than I thought they were going to hang around with Tampa Bay. So, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, the up and down roads of the NFL, when you think you know something, you don't know anything. I just look at Buffalo and they say, this has got to be a gut check game for them. It's got to be. A lot of people's preseason picks go to the Super Bowl. They've been in, what, two AFC championship games the past 2 years or whatever. They gotta get that right. And there's no better time than now. So I'm just going on a man up kind of pick here that you got to show us something there, Buffalo.
I hope you're right. Let's go, Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going. Buffalo, the whole league knows they're one-dimensional. And the only way they get any yards if that quarterback is running. So they didn't turn him into a running back. It's a horrible thing to go through in the NFL to be so one-dimensional. And teams know it, and they're kicking your butt behind that.
Well, in this game, I don't want the Bucks to win, you know, just for playoff positioning, of course. But I think they're going to win. I don't think the Bills, just like what you guys have all alluded to, you know, one-dimensional team, most fundamental thing in basketball, you know, in basketball, in football, running the ball. You know, they can't do it. And then it's one hit on your quarterback, and he's gone. He's done. And they're teeing up. They know that he's a running quarterback. There's, you know, they're just waiting to get that clean, hard shot on him and put him down. And the Bucks are going to win this. I agree with you, Rob. 30-20, I think that's about right. I'm praying that it's 30-20 the other way, but I believe the Bucks will win this game.
No, Tre'Davious is White too, and against those receivers for Tampa Bay, and you know, Chris Godwin, Gronkowski, Mike Evans, no Tre'Davious White, the best cornerback out for the year. That's going to be tough too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of agree with JQ. I think Buffalo, they're going to kind of, this is their statement, man. They got embarrassed, man. So I think they're going to kind of come prepared, man. So I'm just saying, we're going to be split on this one, if you will, too. So I'm just saying. Anyway.
I hope y'all right. I would love to see that.
Every single day. They're like, look what happened. Look what happened. They're going to be ready to go. They are going to be ready. Let's talk about the last game here, Rams and Cardinals by Curtis and Gary over the West Coast here. So, shout out what's happening. And, you know, Kyler Murray's coming back, if you will, getting more healthier, and the Rams are looking like their old self. Go ahead, guys, about this one. What's happening with the Rams, too? Oh, my God, it's crazy. Go ahead, guys.
Well, with the Rams, you know, they went all in, you know, brought people in. This is going to be their – you know, they were looking at it last week. And, you know, between the two quarterbacks, the one they gave up on because he couldn't do anything at the same point the year prior, they both had the same identical records. So where they went, you know, is did they improve that quarterback? So far, not really. I don't think they've really improved that much at quarterback. I don't think they've improved their team. I thought they, at first, when they first made this move, I was pretty excited about it. Uh-huh. But, you know, it is what it is. I do think Arizona is going to win this game. I don't think the Rams are ready for this Kyler Murray. You know, he's going to come out there. And he's one of those runners that almost like Russell Wilson in his prime, where he knows when to slide and he knows when to, you know, he doesn't put himself in harm's way as much as these other running quarterbacks do. So he's small and he needs to do that, but he's smart about it. What's your thought on that, Curtis?
Yeah, I mean, I think Arizona is trying to tell the whole league that they're legit and nobody's giving them that much credit. The Rams, They're another team that needs to run the ball more and get off to all those throws. But they don't. But Arizona, I don't like that they lost Kendron Drake. But they got next man up, and they're going to be fine. They're going They're going to try their best to be that team in the Super Bowl. They're going to try everything they got to be that team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like Arizona in this game, too. And if you look at this as Arizona team, you know, every week when you think they're going to lose, they seem to find a way to win, even with those weeks when they didn't have Hopkins, when they didn't have Kyler Murray. Their defense stepped up and had big games. And I think that's what it's going to be. To me, it's going to be too much Kyler Murray. Hopkins is healthy now. And defensively, they're quietly one of the better defensive teams in the league. I think they get the job done. First time they played the Rams in L.A. this year, they smoked them. I don't know if they'll beat them as bad as they did in the first game, even though they'll be at home this time. But I just think overall they're a better football team. I think they got more depth on their team. And Kyler Murray and Hopkins, I think, is going to be the difference getting them back on offense. So I'm going to go Cardinals 27-21 winning this game at home.
Dang, he said like when Russell Wilson was in his prime. Russell Wilson still ain't in his prime? That's how tall it is.
That was cold,
huh? I know it's having a rough year, but I don't know if I would say he's out of his prime quite yet. I got to see him be bad for another year before I can go get on board with you on that one. But he is having a bad year. The problem I have with the Rams is that we see a lot in the big games. We see Detroit Matthew Stafford. And we talked about this in the preseason. We talked about this throughout the season, that all the pressure is on him. And I think he feels that pressure that he's gotten out of Detroit. He's gotten to L.A. He's got his glamour team. They're giving him OBJ. I know he lost Robert Woods. But, you know, he's got all these weapons. He's got Bashaun McVay, you know, the mastermind calling plays. He looks across. He's supposed to have a star set of defense. And in these big games, he's shrunk. And it's hard. It's one of those things that, okay, I was picking him early. I was like, okay, at this point, until I see him do it in one of these big games against one of the other NFC heavyweights, I can't pick him until I see it. So for that reason alone, I'm going to go with Arizona. But, I mean, you got to give Arizona credit. I agree with you, Rob, quietly. Having a really good job, doing a good job defensively, and you know what they have on offense. But if they don't get L.A. Matt and they get Detroit Matt, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Yep. Good stuff. Nice job. I agree, Cardinals as well in this instance too. Until Stafford proves it, he you know, I don't think he's going to prove it this week as well too. So you know, we'll talk about that. Gentlemen, what we've been waiting for the whole night, we're going to let the West Coast crew talk about what's happening. We're going to switch gears and talk about college football, if you will. We talked about Mario Cristobal. He is going to Miami. And I'm going to talk to Curtis and Gary as far as who will be the next coach to replace him, because the next coach pretty much has a nice full cupboard, if you will. You know, at least he didn't leave them bare as far as what's happening to Oregon, if you will, too. So they got a pretty – you know, they lost a couple of recruits, but right now that cover was pretty full in spite of what happened to Utah, if you will, too. But he did not leave them there. So what do you guys think about that and your thoughts about that move, if you will?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm a Miami Hurricane fan, and I'm not really that excited about Cristobal going to Miami because I've watched him up
so
close
Brady
and personal.
So excited, though.
Who's excited?
Hold on, Gary. What happened? Is your phone muted?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Can you hear me?
First, go ahead. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. With Cristobal in the, you know, I'm not excited about him going to Miami, number one, and I'm a Miami Hurricane fan. I don't know if you guys heard that, so I'm repeating that. I don't like him because, you know, I've watched him in the big games with talented teams. And in those big games, you know, just like this, how can you not get your team up for a team that just kicked your ass up one side of the field and down the other? And some coaches are just not like that. Some coaches are good for, you know, 8, 9, 10 games, you know, and they can get up for the
you know, the Stanfords or the Wazoo or whoever, but to get up there and win the Pac-12 championship, go against a team that kicked your ass, and go in there and lay an egg.
Twice.
You know, how can I be, as a Hurricane fan, how can I be excited? Now, one of his big reasons he went back there apparently is the health of his mother. His mother's in poor health, and his brother is a police officer back there and needs to be close to family. I don't care about that. The Hurricanes are my team, and I wish they'd have gone a different direction. But as far as the Ducks go, where do they go from here? You know, what coach do they get? You know, I was looking online, and there's Wilcox from Cal, Dave Aranda, I think his name is from Baylor, Chris Peterson, former
Chris Peterson,
Chip Kelly.
Yep,
Brian Harrison, I don't want Chip Kelly back. That quarterback from, or that that coach from BYU. How do you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce it.
Kalani Sake.
Yeah.
Samoan.
Yeah. He was one of them that was on their list. I don't know who they're going to end up with. Hell, give Dion a try. Bring Dion.
Yeah, Dion, 11-1. They won the championship.
You know what?
Jackson State.
I wouldn't have any problem with them bringing in Dion. There's lots of players that will come and play for him.
Absolutely.
With his personality, he's the one guy. He's the one guy that could go down there and say, "Oh yeah, you know, you can live in California, or you know, you can live in Eugene. You know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Come on up and live in Eugene, but you're gonna be playing for prime time." I wouldn't mind Dion.
Yeah. If you can recruit to Jackson, Mississippi, you can recruit to Eugene, Oregon.
Bill Knight.
Yes, Lord.
Bill Knight.
You said yes,
open
Lord.
Up the checkbook. And, yeah, Dion sounds fun. But Bill
he
Knight, open up that checkbook. Pay that big money.
Bill Knight going to go get Bill Belichick.
You talk about Bill Knight.
Stop doing that to them, Rob.
Bill Knight.
Stop, Rob. Stop.
You talk
Rob.
About
Come
Bill
on,
Knight,
man.
But, you know, how many boosters do you know for your team that's donated $1 billion to your school? Name one.
Not helping, though.
I know.
Name one booster for any team in the Southeastern Conference.
They got glow-in-the-dark uniforms, but I don't think that's helping. Catch me if you can.
Bring on Neon Dion, though.
It'd be interesting if Chip Kelly decides to go back there, right? But, you know, then again, Chip Kelly is at UCLA, too. I mean, UCLA is not USC. USC has always been the premier football conference in the Pac-12. But can he get a lot of those California players to go to, UCLA? That would be intriguing.
Yeah.
You know, that would be intriguing, you know, if Chip Kelly goes back there. But, you know, you got Matt Campbell. Iowa State could be a possibility with a Big 12 losing some of their luster with Texas and Oklahoma leaves. I don't think Dave Aranda is going to leave Baylor just yet. I think he feels like he's got something good going there. I think he's going to try to establish that program a little bit more before he tries to leave again. I know I heard Brian Harsin, the coach from Auburn, is a possibility, too, going back out west. You know, he was the head coach of Boise State before going to Auburn. And, you know, Auburn will make a run maybe once or twice in a 10-year span. But, you know, he can go to Oregon and be winning that Pac-12 North on a year-in, year-out basis. So, you know, we'll see. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Oregon does here.
Yeah, well, that's Chip Kelly. It's hard to go home again with Chip Kelly. The problem with Oregon, too, is that you had all these blockbuster moves, and you feel like they played musical chairs, and they were the one left without a chair, right? Like, you had all these places where you're like, Oregon, you know, we've got that Phil Knight money, and we've been recruiting strong out of California, but everybody else moved, and just, it took the big names off the board, and that drawn Cristobal going to Miami, it kind of put him in a bad spot. The guys you named, I think Deion only leaves Jackson State for one school, and I think that's Florida State. And I don't think that may not be that far away in the making, because Florida State keeps treading water at 6-4 and 7-5. That's not going to be enough for the Seminole faithful. I got enough of them in my life. That's not going to be enough. So I think that's really what he's waiting for. It's for that time for it to marry up, for him to bring Jackson State back up and then go and get Florida State back, because, you know, that's where he went. And same thing with Cristobal. And I am a Hurricane fan. That's my second favorite team. I like the move. And this is why I say that. I don't know if Cristobal
like
was always fully invested in terms of football. Yeah,
like
I keep
Miami
trying to say, yeah, growing up, Cincinnati football was not a thing when I was growing up. Cincinnati basketball was a thing. I don't even know if the Cincinnati football games came on TV. Nobody gave two shits about Cincinnati football when I was a kid. We didn't care. It was nothing. So, yeah, I'm not going to sit here. I'm from Cincinnati. I'm enjoying that my city is on the stage where they're going to get a chance, and they're going to get dog walked by Alabama, but at least they get a chance. But to sit here and say I've got all these UC jerseys and I've been supporting Bearcat football since I was two is a lie that I'm not going to tell you. I was a Hurricane fan since Jimmy Johnson. But I think Cristobal had
Martin,
yeah, that was the voice. But for Cristobal, I think it brings him another level of energy to go back. He's from Miami, went to Miami, won national championships with Miami, coached with Jimmy Johnson. Like that piece of it, I think, and they all talk about it. To be down there, you have to have a guy that understands it as a Miami guy. And all these other guys, even though Randy Shannon was on the staff before he was a Miami guy, he just didn't have that it factor. And they talk about recruiting Eugene. Look what Cristobal was able to do. He's had good teams in Oregon. He just didn't necessarily get over that hump. And I hear what you're saying about that. He got crushed this year in two big games, and that's what he's going to have to live with. But I feel like part of that was with some level of distraction about going back home. But I think he's going to be so energized to be back home. And we talk about it. If you're at Miami, all you got to do for the most part is recruit from I-4 down to the bottom. If you can lock down those 4- and 5-star recruits from Tampa, Orlando, Sarasota, Miami, Naples, all in that area, if you can control that area and then go get you a couple maybe from Georgia here and there, but that level down, you can bring Miami back really quickly. And I think, that Miami native roots piece of him is going to have him so fired up to get Miami back. That's why I love it. Now, will it go like this? If he burns out trying to do too much in Miami being at home, I could also see that happening. But initially, I think the fervor and excitement is going to be so big, and those kids that want to stay home, but they don't want to play for a 6-6 team, but they want to stay home and have Miami be good again from that area. And he's a great recruit. I think that's going to be a good match, at least in the short term. We'll see how long term that plays out, but short term, I think that's a good get for Miami.
Yeah, you look at it, obviously they didn't win the Pac-12 championship this year, but he won two Pac-12 championships in, 4 years there as a head coach at Oregon? I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, they went two out of four Pac-12 championships there. He got some 5-star recruits to come as far as Texas. I mean, they just had a kid from Houston.
Yeah.
He just decommitted from Oregon today, so he's opened up his recruitment. But they had a 5-star offensive lineman. Want to be coached by an offensive lineman himself, Mario Cristobal. So, no, I totally agree. And to me, for college football, I'm not going to say I'm a huge Miami fan. I don't hate them either, though. But from a college football fan, if you can get Miami on the map again to compete with the Clemsons and the ACC, I mean, that's exciting. We had Pittsburgh,
Notre Dame, big
game,
USC,
championship game,
Ohio State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can get Miami back on the map there. And then when you look at it I know he's got the family situation there. Well, come on. Eugene, Oregon, Miami, South Beach, Range. I mean,
Silicone, whatever the hell. Yeah. before we wrap this up, I definitely want to
Rob, have you ever been to Eugene, Oregon? Rob, yes or no?
Over it.
Have you ever been to Eugene, Oregon? Really?
He said no. He flew over.
That's like
they got an airport.
Have you ever tried peanut butter?
They got an airport.
I'm done. JQ had to get up and leave.
Phil Mike built the airport.
Then he got an airport. Oh, I'm resting my case.
I don't know if that's a good argument.
I'm going to be the manager.
Oh, God. Before we wrap up the show. Oh, my gosh. Before we wrap up the show, and I know we got it. It's kind of accelerated. We do want to give JQ a shout-out because he was the only one that pretty much predicted that the Alabama was going to whip Georgia. We didn't expect it to happen that bad, but just, again, it feels like – Alabama's in the head of Georgia. Nick Saban is like 70-1 versus his former coaches. If you didn't know, it's crazy. Like, the only person that beat him was like Jimbo Fisher. Like, but he's like 70. Like, you ever know, like, somebody's like, he's not telling everybody. He's not telling everyone. He kind of has some secret sauce in there. Like, he is with all of his former like assistants, which is pretty crazy too. And again, it's just, you know, until Kirby Smart figures out that you can't be going with Stetson Bennett, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Saban would be like, yo, I don't care. You ain't get the job done. You going into it. Man, you got to be cold. That's a Bill Belichick trait. You got to be cold with it. You're like, oh, is that working? I'm going in.
That was one of the biggest surprises in that game was that.
Wow.
That was, to me, was a surprise in that game that Kirby Smart, you didn't watch Nick Saban. Jalen Hurts out of the game and went with Tua against you in a national championship game. Why you didn't make the gutsy move of changing quarterbacks in that game to try to keep up with Alabama? I learned my lesson. You know, I agree with JQ. I can't pick Georgia against Alabama. You got to give Saban and Bill O'Brien a lot of credit. They had a perfect game plan, right? They had a no-huddle offense going. They kept Georgia off balance. And anytime Georgia would blitz, they rolled Bryce Young out to give him more time, and he had the athletic ability to do it. You got to give them credit. They had the perfect game plan to beat their defense. And Jordan, the big defensive tackle, Jordan Davis, was tired. He couldn't keep up in that football game. He was gassed. So they had a perfect game plan. You got to give them credit. But,
perfect storm.
After that game, I went back and looked over the whole season for Georgia this past year, almost asked the question, was Georgia overrated? And I didn't think Georgia was overrated going into the game. But I just so happened to go back and look over the season. And you look at their wins this year, the teams that they beat, the best teams that they beat were Arkansas, decent team, right? Clemson is not your normal Clemson team, right? And Kentucky. Those are the best three teams that Georgia beat this season. And so you almost scratch your head a little bit. Was Georgia slightly overrated, in hindsight? I know hindsight is 2020, to go back and ask yourself that question after they got the ass whipped. But if you look at it, best teams that they beat this year, and those three teams are a bottom tier top 25 teams. Arkansas, Clemson, and Kentucky this year. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for joining another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night, December 14th. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time in the nation's capital of D.C. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central in Chicago, the capital of Deep Dish Pizza. Denver, stand up Denver, 9 p.m. in the Mountain Time Zone. And, yes, our favorite city on the West Coast, Fresno. They're getting a new head coach. Jeff Tedford coming back to go coach at Fresno State.
Wow.
Stand up, Fresno. Jackson, Mississippi in the West.
Wow. Jackson, in the West. Hey, listen, you talk about the college football. So they're going to play again for the championship.
Yep.
I believe that. And I love it, Ohio State. Great hire from getting Oklahoma State's cornerback, defensive coordinator. But as long as he can be able to beat Michigan 360-something days from now and stop that power running game, then I'll love him. I like it for now. I love it if he can beat Michigan next year.
Yeah, it's a good hire. Oklahoma State's done a really good job with Oklahoma State defense, especially this past year, too.
Yeah. We need it.
Wow, to the fantasy shout-outs real quick, Rob, too, by the way.
All right, fantasy shout-out. Where's my notes here? All right, league number one. The biggest win of the week is I Want That Down. Beat Gentilly Hot Sauce. It's 173.22 to Gentilly Hot Sauce's 123.70. Yours truly, my team moved into first place, Death Valley, with a 10-3 record. League number two, Kid Kev 23 from New Orleans had the biggest win of the week, 156.20 to the Pelly 62.80. JQ's team, 13-0 in first place in league number two. League number three, my team had the biggest win of the week, Built Four Tough, 210.32. The Els Coholics, 39.50. And Chester and the Warriors.
Damn. Who'd you have? Four touchdowns? Who'd you have? What the hell?
How the hell you charge 13 people score 39 points? God.
Huh?
Oh,
yeah, 39 points.
How you have 13 people and only score 39 points? That's 3 points a person. That is terrible. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I know. Oh, man. Chester in New Orleans, his team Krakens in first place at 13-0. League number four, Andre may not want me to report this. Biggest win of the week, Baby
know,
Got
I
Backfield. Marcy, Andre's
she
wife, beat Andre.
She beat me.
188.82 to 79.90.
That's for you, Ben. I had to give her one because, you know, I live with her, and I've been whooping up this half some times. I had to, like, you know, I had to keep my sanity.
Yeah,
there,
right.
You know, it's been a tough week.
Yeah,
man,
keep looking over your shoulder.
I love you, Ben.
He's like, yeah, let her win.
Smart move, Andre.
No, man. She won fair and square. It was good, good. The one time I helped her, it's like, damn, get my ass kicked. That's how it happens. I'm like, you got to do this.
Oh,
like, okay,
man.
Start this guy. She beats me. Like, what the hell?
Oh.
Shit. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. My team holding on to first place even after a loss. Flash forward, 9-4, holding on to first place. And fantasy basketball, JQ's team, Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 8-1 over Anthony Davis, the new 23. And Chester from New Orleans passed a rock in first place with a 44-19 record.
That's an injury to my guys.
Shout out
to come back, man. I thought I had a stranglehold of fantasy basketball. I had a lot of injuries. That's all good.
Take you laughing at your boy. 39.50 points. Els Cole Hall.
13 points.
Boy, that is rough, boy. I got me. I'm getting roughed up. I mean, I was just quick. You know what? We down for the year. Scored 39 hot-ass points. That is awful. Man, wow.
Curtis Gary. You guys have any wrap-up things before we wrap up? I know we had to have this hard stop or anything. We're going to let you go. Anything you want to say real quick before we let JQ wrap this up, if you will?
Well, next week, we'd like for you guys to not pick on us so much out here, out west, if that would be all right.
We didn't pick on you.
Hey. I didn't say anything.
Hey. It's all of
hey.
You giggled
hey.
A lot. Just, you did
Gary
giggle a lot.
Gary encouraged me to tell you all I brag on Portland all the time on how beautiful city it is. And going up to Mount Hood and drinking those Taco Bell shakes. I really do brag on Portland all the time. But you know, we got to make it
Portland's
fun for the show, though.
And then you get on here and just trash talk us, don't you?
I say to Gene Argan and Curtis, he trash talk. He said, y'all have an airport.
Yeah, I was unprepared for that comeback. I was unprepared for that.
It's funny.
Well,
Gene
news,
has an airport. That's it. That's all they have in the city is an airport.
Man, I was unprepared for that. I'm sorry. I just was unprepared.
You probably walked off the plane and you had baggage
class.
Claim.
That's a worldwide claim. And guess what, guys? In 6 years, we're in our third MLS championship game. We will be playing for the soccer championship on Saturday here in Portland, Oregon. to all those Packers fans. Here we go.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Appreciate you guys.
Nice.
Have a good show, like I said, or have a good show. Have a good night, gentlemen. You know, we love you. I know it's funny to hear, like, Curtis talk about the Bengals all the time, too, and we love to rag on JQ with the Lakers every now and then, too. And, you know, I'm always easy picking because all my teams are sucking with the Falcons. That's why I'm representing my only winning team here. So it is what it is, man. So, you know, we all have gone through those little situations and challenges, and Dallas Cowboys whipped our ass, you know, Patriots whipped our ass. I hit 28-3 every damn, you know, Sunday. Falcons have never lost to Tom Brady. 28-3. Fuck, every single damn, like, Sunday we get that. So, you know, it's like we're never going to live that down. So, I'm just saying. So, we all have our cross to bear in certain instances, too. And I get so pissed off about that, too. I can't ever, like, escape from it, too. But it is what it is, man. So, but appreciate you guys. Yeah. It's probably here to share this moment and
my Saints don't have a quarterback,
too. So. That's true, too. You know, but, yeah.
True.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. Taysom Hill's playing four positions, but he's not a quarterback.
That was cold.
And not great at
that
any
was Peyton's of. Fault, though. That was Peyton's fault, though, because Peyton was calling some bad plays. You're like, what's the way
you called some terrible plays.
Come on, man. It's like, what is going on, man? He should be like, Bill Belichick, run the ball, man. Run the ball.
terrible plays.
We're in the option play. Gentlemen, have a good rest
of
your, day. And we'll that's what we should have did, man. Curtis, Gary, good to see you guys. Again, say hello to Mrs. in the background. It's good to see her and stuff like that, too. Shout out to Morris, obviously. You know I'm just joking. The lot of love for her, too, man. She did her thing, man. So, you know, I'm not going to be a sore loser. So, a lot of love, man. So, again, we'll see you guys. Same time, same channel next week.
That was good. That was a straight thing. Wow, that was good. Oh, yeah.
I love her dearly. I love her.
Performance.
I love her dearly. I truly do.
That was beautiful.
Whenever I beat it the one time, it was pretty rough. So, I can't, you know, I don't even like, hey, I won. Oh, I won. My bad. I can't even say nothing.
Yeah. Hey, you better off losing on purpose on that game, Andre.
you might as well take that game.
Happy wife, happy life.
You should play Randy McMichael at tight end and that man.
All right, I'm done. I'm done with this conversation.
All right, gentlemen. See you guys. Same time, same channel next week.
On that note,
Randy and Michael, three times later. Deuces, guys.
Bye.